Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marnie's Friends. We are in the final weeks before our Spring 2012 Bible Study Expo, and we are doing a six-week series on how to host a Bible study, how to decide whether you're the right person to do it, how to decide how to go about picking the study, how to do all the kinds of things that are involved with hosting a Bible study. Last week we talked about the tough stuff. Next week we're going to talk about the fun stuff. And today we are going to talk about the topic, Who Me? Lead a Bible Study. And I have three wonderful guests that I will introduce to you one at a time here so you can just learn a little bit about them. Before I introduce them, I want to just thank them each for their partnership. Each of them is a speaker that we've worked with over time over at womenspeakers.com. They have not only a history of Bible study leadership and a passion for Bible studies and the girls who go to them, but they are also trainers in their own right as public speakers, and we'll get to know them a little better in that way too this hour as we go along. But I'm so grateful for each of them and that they could be here today. So the first guest I'd like to introduce is from Buford, Georgia. Her name is Donna Lott, and she is the funny lady. She's always bringing a smile to people's faces. Topics she likes to share about are learning to laugh again, out of the wreckage and into his arms, Viva la Divine Diva, and hot pink, hot flashes, and hot mama. So welcome to you, Donna.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And I am so excited that you're here today. It's just so much fun to have you on, and you have such great stuff that you're going to share with us. So welcome to you.
Thank you.
I am going to next introduce Carol Brewer, who has been, I think, Carol, help me out here, but I'm pretty sure that you were one of the very first speakers at womenspeakers.com.
I think that's possible.
Yeah.
But I know we've been talking off and on for a decade, so it's been great.
Yeah, we started womenspeakers.com in 2001, so I think you were right there on the cutting edge of things, as we say. And Carol, you have a wonderful ministry. You guys, if you ever need to understand about how to do music, how to sing, how to make music, how to make a joyful noise, and how to do it better and more professionally, more polished, Carol's your girl. But also she has just a wonderful ministry with women's retreats and different things like that. She talks on many topics, and then she brings this music aspect in too. She's a recording artist and beautiful voice. She has one of her trainings is called Cooking Up a Song, voice training and more. And then also she has other trainings including Remembering Bethlehem, Shopping for a Bargain, The King and I, and more. So welcome to you, Carol.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Oh, nice to have you. Our final guest is Gwendolyn Pugh, and she is from Spiceland, Indiana. I just love the name of her city. Spiceland sounds just like a wonderful place to live. She is also a speaker. She loves to laugh, to share, to be a witness to Jesus, and she loves to share how he's blessed her life and how you can enjoy some of that blessing of God, too. Some of her topics are Weeding the Garden of Our Souls, God is There in the Midst of the Storm, Slip Away and Be Transformed, and more. Welcome to you, Gwen.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm really excited to be here.
And for all of you listening, if you haven't already done so, you're going to want to download the show notes that are over at marniesfriends.com. We've got a little worksheet put together for you. We're going to be talking today about the subject, Who Me? Lead a Bible Study. And I guess maybe I'd like to have each of our guest trainers share maybe their first Bible study memory. Were you a child the first time you went to a Bible study? Did you not go until you were in your 30s? Help us to know when Bible study started to become important to you. And I'll start off myself here. I remember tagging along with my dad as he would lead Bible studies. So I was just a small child, and he would just let one of us go with each time to his Bible, his adult Bible studies. And I can remember just the car ride to the Bible study and sitting next to Dad during the Bible study, and it kind of all being Greek to me at that point, I'm sure, but loving the time with my earthly dad as he modeled how to love my heavenly dad. So that's my first memory. Maybe, Carol, let's go ahead and go to you.
Oh, awesome memory, Marnie. Mine was so different. I came to the Lord as a senior in college after listening to all those college professors professing in a secular college. So I was a new Christian, and a friend of mine said, well, are you in a good Bible study? You know, I didn't even know there was a New Testament. I thought the whole book was old. So I didn't know anything about God's Word. And so getting into it, I think it was a Billy Graham study was my first study, and then actually going to Bible Study Fellowship. And that was really, talk about dive in, you know, because
yeah,
that's
right.
quite a deep study. So that was my really my first time I really got into looking and learning.
Cool. How about you, Donna?
And got hungry.
And got hungry. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Donna?
My first memories are actually when I was a preschooler, and maybe I went more for the Kool-Aid and cookies at that time, but then later when I was in college, I found a weekday Bible study on Wednesday that was just a saving grace for me. It was the middle of the week. It was just what I needed to keep my week going. And then, like Carol, I participated in Bible Study Fellowship for years on end. And so in-depth Bible study, I grew into in-depth Bible study along the way. And now I just love being in Bible study on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. That's great. How about you, Gwen?
Well, for me, actually, it was probably later in my life because we didn't go to church a lot as children. But the first Bible study experience for me was actually probably leading one because the Lord had led me to that. And I just find such depth in His Word and the women's Bible studies I have such a passion for. And He's just continued to lead me down a road to grow in my faith and grow in knowledge. The Scripture's new every day, and that's what gets us through the day. So that's really, Bible study for me is very important for anyone that wants to know God and Jesus Christ. So
yeah.
That's my memory of it. So
great. Great. Awesome. We're going to start with Donna next, and we are going to talk about if God is all-knowing, why would He ever want me to be a Bible study leader? And I don't know, you guys, if you ever deal with any feelings of insecurity that maybe God's given you a little too much for you to take on, but I think that that's kind of the position He likes us in all the time, is that we're a little over our head, we're a little bit out in the deep water, and we need Him to carry us, otherwise we're going to be in trouble. And I don't know, I think that that's always the very best place to be, because then I'm not messing it up so much, because I just have to trust and rely on God. Donna, you have an amazing story of going into Bible study leadership, and I'd like you to share that at this time.
One of my challenges that I have faced with Bible study teaching is the fact that I've been legally blind for a while now, and so that basically means that I've lost the ability to see details. So it's been some time since I've been able to read the printed material of any sort. And so for me, when I was asked this past fall to lead a Bible study, I knew that I would walk into the class teaching a book that I could not see. And so the challenge for me was, could I study and learn at home using my adaptive technology and then walk into the classroom teaching a book that I couldn't see but that I knew the learners were able to see? And so I've found that God equips those He calls. If He calls you to do it, He will equip you, and His power is made perfect in our weakness. So I think I agree with you, Marnie. He wants us in over our head, because that reminds us that everything that is over our heads is still under the feet of Jesus.
Beautiful. Carol, I'm going to go next to you, and you know why, but you can fill everybody else in.
Well, I have to say, Donna, that was really something. I am legally blind in my left eye, and I have been since childhood, so we have that in common. But I do have a good right eye, a strong prescription, so that I am able to use my right eye. I will play tennis in heaven, so my depth perception isn't too hot. But anyway, so we do have that in common, seeing impairment. You know, we have that in common. And so, but anyway, as far as inadequacy, wow, you know, yes, as soon as I start to depend on myself, I'm certainly going to mess it up for sure. And I think that absolutely recognizing our inadequacy and that it is all about God, it's all about Him and His ability. And He does want us to, you know, keep that humility going before Him, because we, as long as we recognize that it is all about Him and we do depend on Him in all situations and never feel that we could do it, I know He can work through us. And so that's always been my blessing, is to, you know, endeavor to empty myself of me and fill myself with Him. And then I know He can work through me in all situations. So,
Gwen, you also are a little bit visually impaired. You wear glasses anyway. Talk to us about,
yes, I do.
About this from your perspective.
Well, from my perspective, the Lord has really taken me on a journey. When it began, I was asked to do a children's sermon and a worship service, and I was shaking from head to toe. And then they asked me to teach preschool, and I thought, I can't do this. The kids won't like me. They just won't like me. Well, that went fine. And then I taught adult Bible study, and then the Lord led me to women's Bible studies. And did I feel qualified? Absolutely not. I thought, who me? I'm not qualified. But a good friend of mine, Cindy, said, God does not call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And I've used that for every time I feel insecure, and it's been such a blessing to me when I lead these studies to see the women grow in their faith and friendships during these times. And I relate to the women where they are, because we all have difficult lives. We have issues that we deal with. And I find that I'm ministered to as well when I'm ministering to them. And I love the Lord, and I believe that with Him on our side, that all things are possible through Him, and the truth will be revealed. So we just rely on Him. If we think that we're qualified, then we're going to make a mistake, because if we don't rely on the Lord and we rely on ourselves, that's where we get into trouble. So for anyone that's thinking about leading a Bible study and they don't think they're qualified, the Lord qualifies you if He's laid that on your heart. And so that's where I have learned from Him that all things are possible with Him and His direction.
Mm, amen. I think that's just a little mini sermonette right there. That was awesome. No, that was good. You know, I formerly had such bad vision that they didn't have a number for me. I wasn't 400 something. They didn't have a number anymore. It was just, they said it was count finger, which is if they stood 20 feet away, they'd put their hand up and see if you could see how many fingers they were holding up. So I was nearly blind, and I had that bad of vision since I was in about second grade until about 10, 15 years ago, then had LASIK surgery, and now I have 20/20 vision. And I tell you what's beautiful is that's what God does with us in all areas of our life. He takes us from very, very blind or blurry, and He just keeps on. He keeps on clarifying things to us. He keeps on making them more clear to us, and as we just trust Him, He's the one that really is doing the leading, and that's what this whole program is about, is how to get us out of the way in order to let God do the leading of the Bible studies. And so whatever level of physical vision we have today or don't have is not important. Whatever level of training you have is really not the most important thing. Whatever level of years that you've been a Christian is not the most important thing. The most important thing is what Gwen said, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And if He's calling you, then we are going to encourage you during this hour to step out in faith and to believe that God is not insane for calling you, that in fact He knows exactly what He's doing, and it's a good plan. Okay, let's move to number two. How would I deal with the fear or feelings of inadequacy? And I think we'll start, go ahead, Donna, and you start us off on this one. How do you deal with the places where you already know, obviously, and I want to clarify because there's all kinds of places that we are weak and we aren't aware of. Those aren't bothering us. It's the ones that we are weak and we're aware of it. Those are the ones that are bothering us. So let's address those right now. And Donna, you go first.
I think for me, taking my fears back to the Lord is paramount. Just filling my own heart with Scripture, going to the Lord on a very regular basis in prayer, and just asking Him to let me push through the fear. Oftentimes, the fear doesn't go away until I've taken that step of faith and until I've pushed through and trusted the Lord to carry me through the thing that was frightening to me. And so I think for me, it is praying and asking God, are you leading me to say yes to this task? And even if it feels like a God-sized task, just recognizing that if He's called me, that He will carry me through and that He will help me do it afraid until He takes the fear away or until I push past the fear. And I guess what I think is the most important thing is the afterward. Think about the afterward, that if I persevere afterward, this will yield a harvest. If I don't grow weary in doing good, then after I do the good, it will reap a harvest. And so if I can keep my focus on the afterward instead of letting the fear grip me in the moment. But I think a big important thing for me is to just continually release those cares, those concerns, the worries, and the fears over to the Lord and just laying them at His feet. Trusting Him to be the strength and to be my courage, and just constantly reviewing Scriptures to remind me that that in my weakness it is Him who is made strong, and asking God to let other people see Him in me as I teach has been paramount to my overcoming the fear that I felt at times when I've walked into the classroom. Being able to rely on Him, leaning on Him and trusting His understanding and not my own, will a lot of times carry me past the fear.
Good. Gwendolyn, how about you? Not only thinking about starting, taking on the responsibility, but like before you go into every week and you know, maybe you'll find yourself facing fear right in the center of a study when you don't know how to respond in a given time. What are your thoughts there?
My thoughts are what I usually do before even a Bible study begins is that I pray and I ask for the Holy Spirit to give me the wisdom to know what to say, what not to say, what to do, and what not to do. And in the middle of it, if I don't have an answer, there's that moment of panic. And then I will let the ladies know that I really don't have an answer, but we need to look toward the Scripture and maybe seek to find the answer and be in prayer about it. And if I can't give them an answer then I will certainly see what I can find and you know, talk with them a little bit later or later on in the week. I don't want to leave them hanging, but I certainly don't go into a Bible study telling them that I know everything. I will tell them that we are all on a journey together and that the Lord reveals things to each of us in different ways, and that we learn together and we grow together and we're at different walks of life. So, but I always seek the Holy Spirit's wisdom, because Jesus told us He would leave us with the Holy Counselor, the Counselor that would give us the wisdom and help us to see the truth. So yeah, there's those times of, oh my goodness, they asked a question I don't know, but then I rely on the Lord and seek to answer it in a way that He would have for me to answer it. So that's really where I'm coming from. So,
and Carol, how about you? How do you deal with the fear or feelings of inadequacy?
Well, I guess we kind of look at what the word fear is anyway. I like the acronym, and you've probably heard this before, but it's false evidence appearing real. You know, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, fear. Okay, so what are we afraid of, really? I mean, if you think about it, are we afraid of they're not going to like us? I don't know. Or, we could be, I guess, a holy fear would be misleading, because certainly that is a responsibility as a leader. We don't want to mislead someone or to some kind of a false doctrine or something we don't understand. So that would be a holy fear. We want to be true to God's word and rely on the Holy Spirit. But these other kind of fears, like, oh gosh, you know, they're not going to like me, and or some of the things in general, it's still a public speaking forum in the sense that you're leading and you're speaking out and trying to be authoritative, something like that. So it's just that kind of, I think we have these earthly fears that we hear these voices of different people will kind of put that on us, or, you know, who do you think you are? These voices that come into our head, we just, these different things, and they're not from the Lord. We go to God's word, and God tells us how deeply loved we are. He, you know, all of that, all of his word. And so that's what we listen to, not the lies of the enemy, certainly. You know, and fear can be a wedge as well. The enemy wants us to be numb. He wants us to, you know, be just rendered useless, and fear will do it. And I'm an expert. So I feel very, I'm an expert on this for all these years of singing and having my heart transplant from my heart to my throat and all this. So I'm an expert on fear. And I think, you know, life's short. Let's, with God's help, we can get over that. And, you know, even if our heart's pounding, just step into those places that he wants us to go into and let him do the work and just rejoice when it's over, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is Marnie, and I think the best thing for everybody to hear here is that nobody does it without fear. Nobody goes in, and in fact, you know, there's this holy respect, this holy fear of God, that if you're going in and you don't have any sense that you might even, you know, make a mistake or say something wrong, that would be probably misled perspective. You really need to go in dependent on God. And one of the things that I learned years ago from Bill Gothard was if a fear is really overwhelming and you're not sure if it's a real fear or if it's just one of those that Carol was talking about, a false evidence appearing real, to just do the worst possible scenario thing. Take it all the way out. Sit down with God and just take it all the way out to the end. If the worst thing possible happened related to the fear that you're thinking of right now, would God be able to handle that? Or would that be something that you would say, wow, you know, that one's just really out there. He's just too big. I don't think I could trust him for that. And in that case, then you know where the problem is. But if it's something behind that, something lesser than that, a lot of times just writing down those worst possible scenarios, it's getting it out of your head and onto a piece of paper, which makes it manageable instead of something that's just swirling around in your head, bothering you. So that would be my advice. We're going to go ahead and talk about how to prepare yourself to be the best leader you can be. And we've already touched on several things, but we're going to go through them really one by one here. And, Gwen, we're going to start with you about being a woman of prayer. And I want each of you to just share maybe one or two of your favorite ways to pray. Could be a location, could be a time, could be more of a routine or a practice that you have on it. Like, do you have a daily devotional time, or is it more go with the flow, or how do you personally do it? And for listeners, there's really no exactly perfect way. Everybody that is going to speak here is going to say something a little different from each other, and you will have your own thing. But these women are great examples of gals who have walked with God and loved God and are being used by God, and they want to encourage you to be a woman of prayer. So, Gwen, go ahead.
Well, for me, I have a special area set aside, and it's my desk where I work, you know, and write. And I have a candle that I light. And why I light the candle, it reminds me of the flame of Jesus Christ. And there's the story of how Jesus is sitting in front of a fireplace, and he's waiting for you to come sit down and talk with him. And a fireplace is always warming to me. So I get that vision in my mind and try to just relax and let go of the things from the outside, the distractions, and just spend time in prayer with the Lord. Read a devotional every day. Journal. I love to journal because the Lord speaks to us through our writing. And being a woman of prayer, that's where we find our strengths. That's where we find the ability to face the day that is to come. And I pray constantly, talking. Prayer to me is talking to the Lord, but it's also listening. And that's what I like to say. It's a two-way conversation. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we like to tell the Lord what's going on in our lives and what we would like to see happen, and we don't take the time to just sit and listen. So in leadership, the most important thing is carving out that time to spend with the Lord in prayer, reading His Word, and journaling, and listening to what He has to say to us through His Word and through the feelings that we get as we're in prayer with Him.
Good. How about you, Donna?
God has really grown me in my prayer life through the years. I remember when I was in college, I heard people talk about praying for minutes and hours on end, and I couldn't imagine that. And so I began with very, very baby steps. I would wake up in the morning before I started my prayer life, and I've heard there's two types of people. There's the people who wake up in the morning time and they think, "Good Lord, it's morning." And then there's the other type who wake up and think, "Good morning, Lord." And so God really challenged me to be a "Good morning, Lord" kind of person. And so God grew me in my prayer life from praying a few minutes at a time to spending more lengthy times with Him. And now my general routine or my general idea is to just say, "Good morning, Lord," when I first get up in the morning. And then I move into a time of prayer. Oftentimes, because I depend on adaptive technology, I will turn my computer on and I'll turn on praise music, and I'll just begin asking the Lord, what music do you want to hear today? What song do you want to hear? How do you want to be praised today? And so I always begin my prayer time with some sort of praise, either silent praise from my heart to Him, or use music in that way. And then I often move into a time of prayer journaling, and I've had various acronyms that I've used through the years to ensure that I include different components of prayer. But most recently, my prayer guide that I use when I'm prayer journaling is just a very simple form. It is release, receive, and regift. And with that format in my prayer journaling, the first thing I do is just release my cares, my concern, my confession of sin to the Lord. It's just a time of releasing everything to Him. And then the second part of my prayer time is to begin to receive from His Spirit, to receive forgiveness, to receive replenishing, to receive power, to receive giftedness that I'm going to need for that day, or to receive words. I even ask God to give me the words that I'm going to need for every conversation that I'm going to have over that day's time. And then after I spend time receiving from the Lord, then it's my opportunity to regift. When I leave my prayer time, I see that as a time to regift, to give out to the people around me those things that God has poured into me. And so God has grown me from being just a good Lord, it's morning, to a person who is ready to empty me totally of me, to be totally filled by God, and then to be able to give that out over a day's time. And, of course, on many days, this is how I start my day, but by lunchtime I've had to go back and, you know, confess again, receive again, and receive from the Lord again. And so that's generally where my prayer time is today.
Okay, great. How about you, Carol?
Oh, you know, prayer has made such a difference in my life over the years, and I learned a wonderful format for praying years ago when I shared the platform with Emily Barnes. She's an author, mm-hmm. and it was Emily Barnes breaking down her prayer list over a period of 5 days. Not that we don't pray on Saturday and Sunday, but it was just 5 specific days to break down, because I had quite a long prayer list, and I don't know about anybody else, but me, my mind would kind of drift off, kind of like going over and over and over, and my mind had started drifting, and I couldn't give the quality time and focus that I wanted to for specific areas that I was praying for. If someone had a loss or was grieving or health issues, all of those things as I'm praying for other people. And so I did break up my prayer list into 5 days, and so Monday I pray for my husband and me and my are just all of our own needs in my ministry. And then on Tuesdays I pray for our family members, our loved ones and relatives and all of the close loved ones. And then Wednesday and Thursday and Friday I break up the list into needs, specific needs for other ministries. I pray for other ministries. Yours, Marnie. I've been praying for yours for a long time. And other needs on Wednesday. And then Thursday will be another list. We have our couples groups and our women's groups and different, you know, always coming in on emails. And so if something comes in on an email, I'll stop and pray for it then, you know, if I can, right then. And those kind of target or arrow prayers right away. But otherwise, then I'll put it on a woman I met on the plane a couple months ago. I promised her I'd pray for her on Thursday, so I am now, you know, and so I will just put them on my list. And Friday I pray for our government, our local government, our governor, our state Supreme Court, and then, of course, all our national leaders and the world. I pray for different countries in the world and battles that they're going through. So pray for our world, pray for our country, that kind of thing on Friday. So it has really been, and then my prayer warriors, I have my dog sitting on my, next to my hip on my right and my kitty on the left. They're my prayer team, and we have a nice quiet time praying together.
Oh, cute. That's fun.
So
that's
anyway,
fun.
I hope that plan will help others as it has helped me.
You know, what's interesting is that each of you brought out such different aspects of prayer. And of course, we're probably all using all of these, but as you're sharing the different angles of it are coming out, one of the things that I heard you say, Carol, was the mind wandering. And I remember when I first started praying, there was a season of time when God had me praying as a part-time job. I was praying for 20 hours a week for my community. And as I began into that season of time, I would get so distracted. And in fact, I would sit down and I would start to pray these specific prayers. I was praying through our phone book for each individual family. And what would happen is I would start hearing these little thoughts coming to my mind, like, you're so lazy, there's work you should be doing, as if prayer isn't work. And then other thoughts were like, this is not the most important thing that you could be doing right now, as if it isn't. And all these things, and what I realized was whatever came to my mind in those moments, I would just grab my journal, grab a piece of paper that was by me, and I would just write it down, whatever it was. You really need to call your mom, or whatever thought came to my mind, I would just write down on that piece of paper, and I would say, you're right, I really do, but not right now. And I would put it to the side. And then when another one would come, I would say, oh, that's a good idea, too. I'm going to write that down and put it to the side. Well, pretty soon, all of those interruptive suggestions from either my subconscious or from somebody else who didn't want me to be praying, those quieted down, and I was able to focus on the work of prayer. And that's been a great lesson for me, that we are going to get bombarded when we start to pray more than we've been praying, because that's where the power is. And girls, if you're going to lead a Bible study, you really need to spend some time in prayer. And if you're not used to doing that, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. One of the things that I like to say about me personally, what do you do for a living? I like to say, well, I'm a personal assistant to the King of the Universe, and every morning him and I sit in private session, and then I go run his errands all day long. And any time I need anything, all I have to do is just a phone call away. All I have to do is just call him and ask, and he makes sure that the doors are open or the finances are provided or whatever it is that I need. King Jesus, King Daddy, is providing for me. And that's what prayer is. It's just being in communion with him, and sometimes along the way, spending enough time sitting down with him that you really get to know him, that you really get to trust his heart. We're going to move to the topic of being stable. And I'm going to start with Donna, and I'm actually going to let you guys address this from whatever angle is in your heart to do so. I know what I meant when I wrote it down, but let's see where God has you going. Donna, go ahead.
When I think about being stable, I think about keeping my emotions and my feelings, my attitudes and my thoughts in check. And so really in the last year, God has really led me into some deeper study about how to protect my prayer life, how to protect my thought life. He's really challenged me to get rid of my stinking thinking and to replace that with right thinking. And so that has been a major avenue for me this past year of spiritual growth, of being able to take those thoughts captive, of being able to stand firm on the Word of God instead of letting every whim of thought and every feeling control me or control my day. And so that's been a major part of me becoming more stable in my emotional life and in my thought life. And then as far as being a stable Bible study teacher, when I thought about that, when I thought about somebody being reliable, somebody being dependable, somebody being loyal, and I thought about having that stability in Christ, that He is keeping me firmly planted, my 2 feet on the ground, and that I am being the loyal, dependable teacher that the women in my class depend on, or that I'm being stable in my own walk with the Lord, that I'm putting one foot in front of the other to give me that kind of stability, that when I walk on a speaking platform, the women there can know that I've gone to battle for them in prayer, and that I've gone to battle for them in study and in preparation, and that I am the most stable in the Lord that I can be when I walk onto the platform. So when I thought about the word stable as I read it on the sheet, it came to me from several different angles, Marnie. And so, you know, first of all, keeping my feelings and emotions and thought life in check, and then being the most stable person that I can be on behalf of the women that I serve and the God I love.
Mm-hmm. Carol, let's go to you.
Thanks. Well, I'm thinking, because we live close to a river, so I like to think a lot about life as like the river. And it's really easy, if you're in a raft or floating on the river, it's very easy to be stable, even though things are going on underneath. I mean, you're just kind of floating along. But when you get in the rapids, it's, and thank God He's our rudder, because He'll keep us on course. But, you know, you're paddling like mad. It's kind of like being in a washing machine. You know, you're getting hit hard right and left. And so staying stable when life hits hard is such a challenge. But I love that in the river there is a place, there are places in rivers where there's a big rock, and then behind that rock is a very calm, peaceful pool that you can get out of the rapids. It's called an eddy. And you can take your, you know, if you can negotiate or, you know, direct your craft into that eddy, that peaceful place, which is the rock is Jesus. And that eddy is that time where you could just sit there all day with all the rapids around you. I mean, He is the stability, but we have to choose to go behind the rock. We have to choose to rest in Him. And also, you know, ask Him certainly for the fruits of the Spirit, like self-control and all those wonderful things that He will help us through. But really, when life hits hard, and it did for me in the last couple of years, the emotions are all over the place. Everything is the enemy certainly wants us to be as unstable as we can be and really messed up our relationship with God, that is for certain. But, you know, when we acknowledge Him in all ways, He will direct our paths and keep us stable and on track. And so I'm grateful for that.
Great. Beautiful word picture. How about you, Gwen?
Well, for me, being stable, I was thinking along the lines of Bible study itself. And to me, it was being prepared when we go into a Bible study. Because if we aren't prepared, the ladies know it, you know, if you go in to lead a Bible study. But also, it's taking time for ourselves, seeking renewal and strength by spending time with God and Jesus Christ. And taking that time, centering yourself on, when we're thinking about the Bible study, centering ourselves on the theme, what is to be about that week, and what kind of questions and situations might arise during the study. And being stable in the Lord, as was said before, just centering your thoughts on God, keeping your eyes, your heart, and your mind on God and what He would have for you to do. Certainly the forces of this world would like for us to be unstable and be misdirected and distracted, and things happen that you wonder how you're going to handle it. But when you're focused on the Lord and living your life for Him and seeking His direction, He gives you the strength and the ability to get through it. And if you try anything else other than focusing on the Lord, it doesn't work. Your abilities will fail every time. So so that's where I find my strength for the daily things that happen in my life.
Yeah, awesome. And we did those are the things that had come to my mind, too, being stable. In one of the earlier sessions, we had two sessions already about, like, the technical side of running a Bible study. And in that, the stability would come. You want to have it at, like, at a consistent time that people can count on. You want to have it kind of be a consistent length. It can be a little different, but it shouldn't be like an hour and a half different or something so people don't know how to plan. Consistency and things like that. And you might be listening and saying, well, being stable is fine and good, but I'm not a stable person. I'm here and gone and that kind of thing. And the reality is that it's pretty tough. If you're going to be a solo leader of a Bible study, it's pretty tough for you to do that unless you can find some stability in Jesus to do it. It's hard on your group if every other week you can't be there because of something. In that case, you need to find a team teacher to do it with or a team leader and go from there. But just know that God is the source of our stability, not our own selves. So it's wise to look at the circumstances of your life and say, can I show up every week? Can I be ready every week? Is that something that's even reasonable for me? And if not, how could we still go forward with this? Maybe there's somebody that could help me. Okay, let's talk about finding someone to be accountable to. And I'm going to start with Carol on this. Carol, what is it that you believe about accountability partners for a leader?
Well, you know, you have to have a trusted listening ear that you can really depend on. You wouldn't just, you know, grab anybody that you aren't really sure about or a new friend or something, you know, asking God over a period of time to give specific, and this would be a very small group of close friends who really know me, and I do have a prayer team, and it's not a large team, but they do know me. And I am accountable to them. I do a ministry report to them, praises and prayers, and also, and I can call these individuals on the phone, and they're actually scattered around the United States and in Canada, and so they're in different areas, and they know me, and they're women of God, strong believers, and so it's someone that I can share my heart with, and they will give me the encouragement and wisdom and guidance that I need. So I'm grateful to have this small group, this small team that I can depend on. There's
good.
Another group also a well-known speaker that I've met through Christian Women in Media Association, which is the group that I'm very involved in as a leader. And I know that that woman has what they call a prayer shield. And I know these women, they're in Texas, and they pray for her throughout the day and constantly mm-hmm. praying. And so that is a source of accountability, but also they call themselves a prayer shield. And that would
beautiful.
Be a really wonderful, thing that we all could pursue, something like mm-hmm. that, possibly. You know, that shield is what we really need, just those people we can depend on. To be ourselves, to open up, express our frustrations, and know that they love us and believe in us, and that's a wonderful gift from God when we're able to find those people.
Cool, Gwen. How about you?
Well, for me, finding someone to be accountable is very important. And like she said, someone you can trust, but who is a mature Christian? This way you can bounce ideas off of them and seek their advice. And we need to be sure that it's someone that will be honest with us, because we don't want someone that's going to always say what we want to hear. There is no growth in hearing what you want to hear all the time. I believe sometimes the most difficult things to hear are the times that God is speaking to you to stop, reflect, and regroup. And when I have a covenant group that I'm a part of, and we try to meet once a month. And if we don't meet, I can call them at the drop of a hat and ask their advice, and they will tell me honestly if I'm on the right track or if they feel God is directing me elsewhere. And that holds me accountable, because we can so easily fall into, well, I think it should be this way, and I think this is what the Lord is saying. But the Lord places people in our lives that have gone further down the road, or are the ones that we will hold us accountable. Because if we don't have that, we can get off track so easy. And I'm so thankful I have my covenant group, and they're friends that I've been with for years, and I know, and I've recently done it. I've called and asked advice, and they've given me answers that maybe I didn't expect. But it causes me to grow and think outside the box, because sometimes we can get boxed in with our thinking. So accountability is very important, especially with a women's Bible study, because there's different situations that come up that maybe you don't know how to deal with, you know, specifically, and they might have had some experience with that. So I think that's very important.
Great. Donna, do you have a comment?
I just wanted to add to that, I have a couple of accountability partners that are not within the Bible studies that I teach, or they're not within the church that I'm attending presently. And I found that to be helpful, because I can share with them and get their discernment and their wisdom and insight about situations that I might not want to share within my Bible study group or within someone who might attend my own church. And the other thing I would add about an accountability partner is that I choose people that will hold my feet to the fire, people who will, like has already been said, who will tell me the tough stuff, and people that I know are praying for me, and I know that their advice and counsel is coming from a standpoint of they're having interceded for me, and that I'm willing to hear the tough stuff. I need that. I need people who will be honest, who will hold my feet to the fire, to remind me the importance of just keeping my walk with God in tip-top shape.
That's great. That's great. We're going to go to Gwen, and we need to move a little more quickly here to get through the hour. Gwen, we're going to talk about being a lifelong learner now. And what is the way that you most enjoy learning more about God himself, learning more about being a good speaker or a good Bible study leader? And maybe if you can just share a couple minutes on that.
Being a lifelong learner is exciting to me, because as reading God's Word, you can read the same thing and the day before, and the next day it means something new. And the Lord is constantly revealing himself through us, through his Word. And if we stop learning, if we think we know it all, we have it all wrong, because God is revealing his truth each and every day. And going to training to find out how to be a more effective leader is important as well. Because we all find something new that we can learn. And life's a journey, learning new and exciting things. And I just love what the Lord is leading me on in my journey, because I learn more and more about myself and more about him. So life is a learning experience on a daily basis.
And maybe to be specific, Gwen, what is the way that your favorite way to learn? Are you a reader? Do you go to conferences? How do you best learn?
Mine's probably reading. Mine is reading so that I can absorb it. So that's basically where I get my learning from.
Cool. Okay, Donna, how about you?
I would say God has transformed me from being a visual learner to an auditory learner over time, because I'm listening to scripture now on CD, or I'm listening to it on my computer. And so God is really doing a transforming work in me as far as transitioning me from a visual learner to an auditory learner. So I love listening to sermons online. I love listening to scripture on tape. I love lectures, and I love listening now. And I'm finding that God is really strengthening that skill the more I have to depend on it. That being said, I love going to conferences, and I love being just up close and personal with people who are good teachers of the Word and good teachers on how to teach. And, Marty, you do a great job of encouraging and helping, of course.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Carol, how about you?
Oh, yes. I would just completely agree with Gwen and Donna. And I am an auditory. I do depend on listening a lot, and the conferences are wonderful. The networking and just watching other leaders learning from their example is, you just pick up these nuggets of truth, and it really is life-changing. So that's a really big way that I learn. And what's wonderful about learning is it doesn't end when we graduate from high school. You know, it's God's perfect plan for us throughout life to just keep growing in Him and growing stronger. As we get older and our bodies are getting older, we just get stronger and stronger in the Lord. It's just a perfect plan that God has set up for us until we're just with Him. So it's,
yeah.
It never ends.
Yeah. Yeah, and Gwen, I just am so, your definite description of learning, ongoing learning is exciting for me. That's just how I am, too. I just love to learn.
Yeah.
I love to learn more about, you know, so many things, but especially about God. And every time that I have one of those new aha moments with God, and it's like, oh, where has this information been all my life, you know?
Yeah.
I needed to know this. And actually, that's one of the things that most drives me to, you know, I've written 12 books and we're hosting like the Bible Study Expo now, to be involved in getting information that I have access to out to as many people as possible, because I just believe that this lifelong learning aspect of our relationship with God and with the world around us, it is truly what keeps it fresh and new. And I watch the elderly people in my life, you know, who are in their 80s or 90s and they're still learning, and they have so much love of life, whereas those who think that they already learned it all, there's nothing more for them to learn, and why bother because I'm going to die anyway, you know, they really lose their love of life. And so just to be a lifelong learner, it is so exciting to me too. And Donna, we're going to start with you here. As a Bible study leader, how do you be a compassionate encourager?
When I read that on the sheet, Marnie, I was thinking about how I think most people really don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be a compassionate encourager for me, in every class that I teach, I always include a time, a care time, share time, and prayer time. And then just an opportunity for the women to love on each other and for me to be able to give a hug or to share a smile. And so I think sometimes just when people come into class and the ladies come in, they need a hug, they need a smile, they need to be reminded that God loves them. As simple as that truth is, I don't think women ever tire of hearing that they are women of worth and that they have value, because sometimes women don't feel that value when they're operating in their homes or when they're operating in their workplace. And I think the Bible study classes should be a safe place where women can come in and know that they're going to be loved and that they're going to get a touch from the Lord and that they're going to get a smile along the way. And so I try to encourage women in my class through sending emails or notes, phone calls, and then, of course, the personal one-on-one when we're able to be together in class or over lunch or over coffee.
Good. Okay, Carol?
Well, you know, as an educator, I'm thinking in just general, just teaching the topic, who is in the class? Where are their backgrounds? And, you know, there are so many, especially from high school, where they didn't enjoy history and they look at a book and they think, oh, I can't study this or I can't learn this. There's so many negative messages for learners. They just couldn't wait to get out of high school, and maybe they're just, you know, weren't interested in college. There are a lot of those women may be in the group, and then you may have college grads who are, you know, all whole different gamuts. So the best thing I guess I can think of as an educator is taking the things that I know and breaking it down to the lowest common denominator, making it teaching, breaking down a task is the term, educator term, and you just break it down, how can I make this easy to understand, applicable to someone's life, how can I simplify this? I mean, it's through your Holy Spirit that speaks through me, and these are the thoughts that I have, but to impart God's truth, which is so powerful in this world that is filled with media and messages and so much, how, you know, we ask the Lord to help us to be clear and concise and to break it down so that it is applicable. They go away with a new tool in their toolbox and they, you know, can apply it and make it real, make it jump off the page. That is our, you know, greatest desire as teachers, you know, that they go away learning and knowing and making a difference in their lives through God's precious word. So that's what we're all endeavoring to do.
Great. Gwen?
For me, being a compassionate leader and encourager is extremely important. Meeting the women where they are without any judgment, it's no expectations, but show them that you care and that you're interested in them as a person. And let them know that no matter where they are in their faith journey, we've all been there or are going to be there at some point in our lives. And what I've done is I send notes of encouragement, thank yous, let them know that I appreciate their participation and their willingness to come to the study each week. And I've given away, given them bookmarks and cards with special verses on them, or little gifts, you know, at each study, each week, so that they go away feeling special. Because so many times our lives are so busy that we don't feel special. And for that one moment, that time at the Bible study, they can feel loved, they can feel they're important, and they can feel that they are on a journey with other women, no matter where they are in their lives, no matter what backgrounds. Because to me, when someone's genuine with me and they listen and watch, and what I do as a leader, I watch the women's faces. You can read a lot more, not by their words, but by their expressions. So I try to be aware of that, because you can tell a lot about what a person's going through by the expressions on their faces a lot of times.
That is such good advice. That just happened to me on Sunday. I was talking to somebody, and what she was saying was not nearly as important.
Right.
As what was going on behind what she was saying. And the Holy Spirit can help you to find that. I loved how in these answers, and actually all through this whole hour, each of you has shared from a different perspective. Actually, I can hear the different giftedness angles that you come from, your natural bents and what you value in quality time versus maybe gifts or encouraging words or acts of service. It's all, you know, it's all been covered here. And if you're listening, what you don't want to do is you don't want to say, oh, I could never be like all three of them put together, because that is what God's calling you to be. In fact, he's not calling you to be like anybody else. He's calling you to be every bit of you that he's created you to be, and to let him flow through you to minister to the gals he's putting around you. I'm going to give you each about 1 minute to answer this question. What if I say I'm going to do this, that I want to start a Bible study, and I will be the leader? You've encouraged me. I'll be the leader now, but what if I get into it and I right away feel like I shouldn't have done this, I want to resign? Carol, what would you say?
Oh, I've experienced that as a leader taking on, you know, you pray and you take it on, but and then you get into it, go, oh, wow, this is a little more than I thought. But, you know, on the other side of it, I can say, wow, it's God has just got me through, and I've learned and grown so much through the experience and gained more confidence in God and his promises, and just confidence in him. So that's what I've gained through it.
Great. Donna, about 60 seconds.
I would just say hang in there, keep going with it, press on with it, and you'll be so glad you did. And the ladies in your class will be so glad you did too. Hang in there. That's my word.
Okay, Gwen.
I would say don't do it, because there's been times I've wanted to say that. But when we quit, then we're not doing what God's called us. And he's the one that's going to make it work, not us. It's up to us to decide if we believe in him and the power of the Holy Spirit enough to let him lead us and strengthen us throughout the time of each study. God's in control. We have to give up the control. So we just need to say, okay, I can't do it, but you can, Lord.
Okay, and that's great. And this is Marnie, and I'm just going to give you one little other thought here, is that if you get into it and God allows something to come into your life that you find that your family or something other extenuating circumstance happens that you are simply not able to keep going because of these other things, just know that God already knew that before he called you to do it. God knew how long you'd get to do it, and he knows that he can bring you back at another time to finish it off. So that would be my final thought on that one. I am so honored, so grateful that you guys could be here today. Thank you, Carol.
My pleasure. God bless.
Thanks,
you,
Donna.
Marnie.
Thank you, Marnie.
And thanks, Gwen.
Thank you, Marnie. It's been a wonderful experience.
And for all of you listening, thank you for being here today, too. We encourage you to seek God's will for your life in every aspect, and especially right now today, if you're thinking about starting a Bible study or taking a leadership position, we are praying for you right this moment as I speak. We are lifting you to God, and want you to know that he cares desperately about you, that he wants only the best for you, and that if he asks you to do it, he will also equip you to do it. One of my favorite things is God always pays for everything he orders. And so if he calls you into a position of leadership, he wants you to do it through his power, not your own. Before we close out here in just about a minute, I want to remind you to go over to BibleStudyExpo.com, BibleStudyExpo.com, and register. We are 20 days from the expo now, and we're going to have a great time together on Thursday afternoon, May 17th, with 15 Bible study book authors. We're going to have a Facebook party, a Twitter party going on over there. We're going to have books to give away for free. The authors have all contributed a book or their publisher, and so I want you to know about it and be part of it, and also tell your friends about it. We just put up a new video at YouTube today, Bible Study Expo. I think you have to do 2012 because we had one before, so type in 2012 Bible Study Expo and you'll be able to find that. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for loving Jesus, and thank you for sharing your life with us. We love you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.